stand for a national anthem? Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest on the public agenda? Councilor Melange.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. 7.2, my brother holds one of the main positions under that subject matter.
Noted. Any other disclosures? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to minutes of the previous meeting, 4.1. Motion to receive, Councilor Levine. And second, Councilor Cluche, is there any corrections or questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Brings us to delegations, Mr. Welsh.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. My name is Tom Welsh. I live on 8681 Middleside Road, which is the old County Road 10, McGregor, Ontario, which is the old Anderton, but obviously with the township of Amherstburg. I come to you today about the flooding again for the second time. Two times now in 2 years we flooded. So something, I don't know how to about doing this, but it's enough, because I think a lot of people have lost sight of, there's more people in this town than the core. We pay a lot of money in taxes out there. That development in behind me, I think you guys know what I'm talking about, which we protested multiple councils ago because we knew it was gonna flood. It was passed, lo and behold. And this is the second time we flooded. And I don't go by, well, that was the first time. It was 2 years ago to the day. Well, I'll tell you the history. Obviously, we flooded on Monday. Obviously, I was the one with the big fire, which was a year ago to May 6th, that was me. So I love the fire. Then the year before that, it was another flood, which was the big flood in Crown Ridge as well. So we flooded again. And this time, both times, I had human feces in my downstairs, foot and a half of water. I mean, I don't know what else to do. It's got to stop. In behind me, that development, where our houses range from $350,000 to $600,000 homes. All of us finished them. They're beautiful, beautiful homes. Can you imagine having human feces in your downstairs for the second time? I mean, I don't know what to do. I have to come to council because something has to be done. I know it didn't flood in Crown Ridge this time because multiple things were done to avoid that. So my question is, what is council? How can we go about correcting this? Or is there going to be funding? Because I can tell you, like Windsor got this funding. I can't put a claim in because of the fire. I put $316,000 claim in last year. So if I do another claim, which is about $50,000 damage to my downstairs, you know what will happen? I'll lose insurance and they will not know, no one will insure me. So I think things have to be done because, and then obviously I put 2 points in there with the electricity. So with the flooding and so much water's coming in, when we use electricity almost daily or every other day, it is a pain to reset your alarm clocks every day or every day, all of your appliances. Number two, when we have a big flood, I'm deathly scared of flooding every time it rains because I'm gonna lose electricity. I bought a $3,000 generator to try to help and I lost up the battle. Because as quick as it came in, the quick it was going out. And obviously I did my research of why it happened. The storm sewers filled, that overleads to the sanitary sewers. Couldn't go anywhere, whether I was gonna defeat it to get it out, it was coming in either way. So it's two times in, let's say, 2.5 years that it's purchases and everything's for the core of the town. We are part of the town, and we pay a lot of taxes. And I think something needs to be done about it. Thank you.
We have committed a considerable amount of money so far, and we have not stopped investigating. Antonetta can give us an update on where we're at with that.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that is correct. The McGregor area alone, we committed $90,000 for the investigation, the engineering investigation, and $400,000 for any remedial work. Since 2015, we have been doing the engineering studies. It takes a good year to run the models as far as the rain gauges and the flow monitors to try to capture the information needed to try to determine where if there's any issues. Then in 2016, we performed electric scans of the McGregor area. Basically, what happened was we filled the entire sewer with water, and then they send an electric current through the system to try to pinpoint any defects, any cracks, any issues within the town portion of the sewer. And unfortunately, we have that report back, and they didn't find any smoking guns, as they put it. So our focus shifts now to the private side. The report did speak to some inundation of our pump stations from the private sewer side regarding Lucia Estates, the former Lucia Estates, and some of the subdivisions. So we will be now, some information has been provided to the CEO, and we're hoping to get it to the next council meeting as far as some subsidy programs, some basement flooding prevention programs similar to the ones in Windsor. And we're hoping to come up with that next council meeting and then bring it out there to the residents. That will definitely include McGregor, and it will be a town-wide program as well.
Councilor Pujic.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Mr. Well, I'm really sorry that your experience with so many bad things happened to you in the last 3 years. Did you contact the town when you've done it the second time?
Yeah, I did. I called the town number. All of the neighborhood printed the number out. I did contact the town. Mr. Hewitt called me back the next day. It was very nice. He gave me some information. And that's why I was proposing questions like, are our pipes big enough? Because I don't think the infrastructure that was developed out there for that development is big enough. I really don't. And I don't think the pump was on. Because quite frankly, I went and drove to the pond. It was full. So this leads me to things. I mean, something needs to be done. I mean, I have a beautiful home. I put my whole life into it, and it's twice now. And then the fire, well, that was just whatever that was like. But like human feast in the downstairs twice now. You know, it's we're not all Lucia Estates. We try hard up there, and it's really nice. It's a nice area. We've got a great church. Our community's awesome. It's nice, and we like it, and we are part of town, which I like. But I don't know. Like it's time and time and time. And it does make you think, hey, everything that you see in town is for the core. That's not fair, that's not right. We pay taxes, and I think we should get something. Like as an example, last year when they did development, they had to run the bell lines down my line to get into the Albert Billbridge development behind me. They run the bell line, so they run underneath the ground without breaking the ground. Well, they broke the culvert that was underneath my front. I fell in and sunk and hurt my leg. So I called town. Again, hard to believe, but the response was, it's not our problem. This is what I get from the town, like not council, like from the town. So they told me to call somewhere. I called Essex Highways. They came and fixed it the next day. So, like, my taxes come here, but where do they allocate to? Like, electricity, the water, the sewage? You know, I get water, sewage, and garbage and recycle pickup. That's what I get from the Township of Amherst. And I pay a lot. We all pay a lot. So I have questions, like, are we ever going to get a piece of the pie, or are we going to, because, you know, it's very frustrating because there's a lot of nice houses out there now. And then the Catherine Roth across from us, if that goes through, my question is, or, and God forbid, if the Billbridge and Albert development, they extended farther west towards town, if they add more homes to our system, what is that going to do for the existing people who have been there 20 years now?
And thank you for bringing that to our attention, but as we heard Antoinette say that they have started an investigation immediately, and you know, we have invested quite a bit of money to try to correct that, and
7 inches in 5 hours.
Exactly.
2 years ago, it was five inches in 4 hours.
So, and further to that, Antoinette, when you're talking about that, council might enter into an agreement regarding prevention, are we talking about the sewer backup? The system, and I'm not sure if Mr. Walsh has that in his basement or not.
That's a good point you brought up. I've been there 17, 18 years now, so that was the old Anderton. It was not our, like, I'm on the main road, the middle side of County Road 10. The development behind me, just for the record, they all have check valves because it was code now. It didn't do anything. Because if you beat the sewer system coming in, you still have to pump the water out away from the house. When the storm sewer is full, it can't go anywhere. So we were gonna lose either way. I could add the check valve, which I do not. That would have stopped the sewage to coming into my house, but I still would have lost the battle of water. It can't pump nowhere where it can't go. The pipes, I believe, are truly too small, and when we get that much rain, it took 5 hours exactly for the table, the water table to drop before the sewage would go back into where it was supposed to go, and the storm sewers were able to pump it out. 5 hours, I can tell you, I went, within a 10-minute period, I lost a foot and a half in my downstairs. 10 minutes, that's how long it took. And then it took 5 hours to get it out, and all night.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that is correct. And that on the 28th, the McGregor area, which includes Mr. Walsh's area, experienced 7 inches of rain. And of those 7 inches, 5 inches fell between 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. So a 4 hour window, we got 5 inches of rain. Now, when a storm sewer is designed, we design to a 1 in 5 year storm. A 1 in 100 year storm is 108 millimeters. In comparison, the amount we got in that 4 hours is 120 millimeters. So we exceeded in 4 hours what a 24-hour period of a 1 in 100 year storm. So not only did we exceed the amount, but we got it in 4 hours instead of 24 hours. So it's well above any design criteria that anyone would ever imagine designing. So yes, Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
is correct. The pipes are too small for that rain, but no municipality would ever design to that type of rainfall. So what we can do is basically make sure our existing system is working, and everything was working, all the pumps were functioning, and also try to alleviate the water that gets into the storm sewer, and that's what we're going to try to do with these subsidy programs. Disconnect downspouts, disconnect the drains, anything that will alleviate storm from getting into the system and then backing everything up. Everything backed up, the roads started to flood. When the roads start flooding, water gets into your sanitary manholes, you're out of luck, no matter what the design is. So unfortunately, we just need to try to do whatever we can to eliminate the water from the system, and that's hopefully what these subsidy programs will encourage the residents to do.
I understand the subsidy programs, but there's 5 feet of borderline between each neighbor, so I can't take the downspouts or pump it out on the grass, it'll flood my neighbors. So it's a lose-lose battle. If I had the check valve, that would have stopped the human sewage to come in my house, but I still would have lost the battle. The downspouts are not gonna work up there because it's McGregor. McGregor is harder than the cement here. The water does not go anywhere. If I had this reconnected my pump, which I tried to pump to the road, it's just gonna flood all my neighbors. We can't win this. I don't know. You can't win this because if I were to pump it out to my neighbor, they'll flood, which we are all flooding anyways. If you go to the road was already flooded and the storm sewer was already full. So where is it going to go? It has to go somewhere. Whoever is the lowest point, believe it or not, I'm the lowest on the street because I'm 10 feet under the ground. Most of them are raised ranches, so I flood before them. So that would even worsen my problem. And I heard that with the 50-year storm, the 100-year storm, let's be real. We had hurricanes today because of global warming climate change. It's going to reoccur. So I don't know how to solve this, but you know what I mean? It's very confusing.
We're not going to solve it tonight, but to answer your question, we do know that you are there, the residents are there. We are spending money, and we will continue to spend money to try and find a solution. Our big thing is, I can tell you, this council has been very committed to it. We just don't want to spend money on something that's not going to work, because that would have been money we could have spent more more appropriately on something that will work. The engineering studies just kind of came in, and I believe there will be more coming with the report that Antonetta's gonna bring forward, and we're gonna keep working with that area to alleviate the problem, whatever that means. Like Antonetta said, though, I can tell you this is an issue across the province, and no municipality can afford to put in 3-foot diameter pipes, for example, to try and compensate for that much water. I know that doesn't help the residents who are flooding, but we will keep working on that flooding. Councilor Milosh, you had a comment?
Mr. Welch, I live in McGregor.
Yes, I know that.
Yeah, it was Niagara Falls coming over and off my roof, and I can sympathize with you. Luckily, I don't have a basement. But I have to echo, I've lived in McGregor all my life, and the storm sewers wouldn't have helped this situation. I mean, for the first time in a long time, with the amount of rain we got, Sucker Creek didn't even overflow. It was, you know, still 2 feet from the top of the city. So it was an anomaly here, okay, you know, to say the least, I guess. And so, yes, we are attempting to address the issues. I don't know what I was gonna ask the administration. Have we ever looked into a backflow valve program?
Through your worship to Councilor Walsh, the report that's going to be coming the next council meeting will address mandatory participation in the debt downslope disconnects. Look at providing 100% subsidy for the backwater valves. Look at providing overflow relief with regards to the sump pump system, bring things in code to what is now being prescribed in the Ontario Building Code. So we are going to strategically look at making the investment, especially in the McGregor area, because as Director Joffe said, we have $400,000 available for us to mitigate some of the concerns in McGregor, and we're going to do as much as we can on the private side. As she's indicated, our municipal side of the infrastructure is working as designed. I can't say to you it is not sufficient enough, because engineers have suggested it has, and they built it to that code. Going forward, may we be looking at new design parameters? We won't be the only ones. It'll be all municipalities looking at that. So what I can say to you is we understand your concern. We are going to be looking at some of the things that people haven't raised this evening is when the municipal side, in my past experience, when you have water that is entering a residence and it's entering it at a very fast level, sometimes the private side of the drainage system has been compromised, so you could have a breach in a pipe that's going around your house. We're gonna recommend to our council that we're gonna investigate in cammering that. We're going to look at trying to help our residents, and by doing the cammering work, if we can identify a breach on the private side, we'll be able to locate and tell you where that needs to be fixed. So we're presenting a program that I think is gonna go over and above what the other municipalities are doing here, and that's because we recognize the seriousness of the issue. I can tell you, you know, my staff and council, they want to try and resolve this matter. But to put the kind of money that you might think is going to be needed in oversizing pipes to 3 feet, I just don't think that any municipality is going to be able to afford that. So we're going to have to find a ground that we think is going to work for yourselves, the municipality, and let's not kid ourselves. I know that this is a regular occurrence. This storm happened this year, it happened last year, and it's probably gonna happen again. But until we get the right solution for each area, we're gonna keep trying, and we're gonna keep investigating, and we're gonna keep on trying to introduce things that are gonna prevent it. Can I say there's gonna be a fault-proof, 100% for sure, Mr. Walsh, we're gonna do all this stuff and you're never gonna flood again? I can't say that, I really can't. We're gonna take all the steps to try and make it not happen, but can I commit to you 100% that it's never gonna happen? I'm sorry, I can't, nobody can. I wanna be very honest with you. And what we're gonna do though, is we're gonna do a lot of work on the private side, and we're gonna recommend that a lot of work occur on the private side that no one else has ever done in this municipality. And I would suggest to you that no one's doing it right now in any other municipality in this region. So I take great pride in saying that we're gonna do what we can for our residents, because we recognize the severity of the situation and wanna make sure that we do everything we can for you and all the other people in McGregor.
Just a follow-up.
Sure.
To Antonetta. Antonetta, do they do percolation tests, okay, when they, you know, design sewers for areas? Like Mr. Walsh said, McGregor, it's concrete. You know, brick or shovel trying to dig a hole. Do they do some kind of testing to see, you know, how much percolation happens, I guess, rather than runoff?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, when something is constructed, either a sewer or a water main, you do have geotechnical studies where they will do borehole testing to see what type of material that pipe is being installed in. However, as far as to see percolation into the system, it doesn't go into that when you're constructing the system itself.
Okay, I would think that, as I read some reports about that, that they talk about percolation over ground, because that's important in terms of sandy, loamy soil will, you know, the water will, you know, absorb in the ground or in the breaker, it's straight runoff. And so anybody that's dumping off the, you know, in their backyards or say, like you say, you're just gonna flood the next guy as the water's gonna run quickly off the surface. So I just point that out.
Okay, and on the power, I did look into this. Amherstburg has the problem that we have part of the town on Essex Power, which we do very well with because we have local control over it being a local
distribution.
And what's that?
Essex Power line, so my bill goes to
it. For your water, not for your electricity.
My water.
Yes, for electricity though, you were talking about the outages?
Yes.
Yes. So I reached out to Essex Power to see if we could at least get some data on your area and what's going on with the power, and they relayed to me what I pretty much already expected. The province is not big on sharing that kind of information, even those people in our municipality. But he said, the manager over there, they're very collaborative. They said they'd be more than happy to work with you personally if you want to talk to them about working with Ontario Hydro, because that is probably what the best council can do with you as far as the power goes. Once it gets to that provincial level there, we have almost no power. You probably have more authority as an individual ratepayer than the municipality does when it comes to power. But we would be more than happy to help you facilitate that. If you want, I can give them your information. I haven't yet, obviously. But if you like, I can pass it on, and you can look into what's going on in your area and if anything's being done to rectify the problem. Because you're not the only one who's raised hydro issues.
It's scary.
It is. And
if we spend the money and fix the problem, if I got juice to pump it, I'm gonna lose either one.
Yeah, and so in the rural areas is the big problem, because it seems that Ontario Hydro has all but ignored their infrastructure in rural areas. And obviously what you're experiencing is probably failing in the systems. So on a provincial level, we are absolutely, well, for lack of a better word, we're fighting the province on this. And we're trying to get it through to them that they can't just ignore our rural residents. If they're providing the power, they need to provide it reliably, because we tend to be the tax collector and everything else, so we feel some responsibility then. Council Pugin?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a clarification, Mr. Welsh is with Ontario Hydro.
Mm-hmm.
How close is Essex Power to the lines compared to his house? Do we know?
Well, if I could see where you're going with that.
Well, okay. To be fair, I'll just ask a question.
Sure.
Is it possible that council could look into the feasibility of asking Essex Power if we could enter into an agreement to buy out part of that section from Ontario Hydro, so that they could have Essex Power, which seems to be a more reliable source of power?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I forgot to mention that. Essex Power has actually already tried to purchase all of the Ontario Hydro customers in the town of Amherstburg, and they have flat out denied us over and over again. We are very willing to assume the infrastructure and deal with it on an Essex Power level, but up until now, and of course what's been especially frustrating is their desire to sell off Ontario Hydro, but they don't want to sell it to the local distribution companies, which we obviously have proven can do a much better job at providing reliable power than they are. So the short answer is, we've tried and they've already said no thanks. So, but that's where Essex Power said, that's fine, but we will still then intervene, I guess, where they can, because they are a local distribution company. They do have access to Ontario Hydro, like we may not as a municipality. Councilor Lodge?
I forgot to mention when you talked about power. Yes, it is a problem in Prager. I know myself, every morning I get up, I have to reset my phone. Every day. And that becomes a real nuisance.
Yes.
And especially when you're relying on the power for some pumps. It's very critical. So even if our system is adequate, if the power fails, it's no longer adequate.
But I just want you to know, like, I don't expect council to spend millions of dollars on breaking our pipes and making it bigger. I get that. That's part of it. We move forward. But I'm talking moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So the future developments that doesn't keep happening, or like Crown Ridge, I know the town spends quite a bit of money on the pipes that run stadium behind the gym. Something like that, maybe we can get something like that out our way. I mean, because like, to get to your point, I bought a generator at $3,000. After the last storm, I spent $15,000. It's Mr. Tom's Kazizi or something in Harrow. It's a flood-proof system, they call it. It worked really well. $15,000, they break on the inside of the footings of your basement. So if it does leak, which I thought, as you said, sir, that maybe my pipe systems were broken on the outside of the eaves. I had a camera after I did it, I was clean. But they break the inside of the wall, they run the big O, which,
yeah.
So if it leaks inside the wall,
yeah.
It goes to the big wall, so there's a big O on the each side of your footings,
yeah.
And goes still the same. So I did that as well, and I still lost. So I'm over $20,000 in my pocket just to try to prevent. You know, so think about electricity, I guess, and that's a big one, but I don't know. It's a rough go.
It is. But as the CEO said, we're not going to tell you it's not going to happen again, but we are absolutely trying to keep it from happening again. I would expect in the short term, and I know the residents out that way have been waiting probably about a couple years now for the study. A good year of studying what's going on in our rainfall, and hopefully we're getting to the point now where we can start implementing hopefully some solutions. It almost would have been nice if we'd have just found some blockage, because that might have been the problem and it would have been that simple.
It was
exactly. And so we're obviously going to have to come up with something, but we do still have another $400,000 available just for your area, so we do have funds committed to the residents in your region. We have not forgot about you by any means.
Thank you.
There's no more questions. Motion to receive, Councilor Melage, and second, Councilor Levine. All those in favor? Carried. Thank you. That brings us to 7.1. Councilor Melage?
Move the recommendation.
And second, Councilor Levine. Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. 7.2, Councilor Levine. And second, Councilor Pouget. Any questions? All those in favor? Carried. 7.3. Yeah, you're good. 7.3, Councilor Pouget.
Motion to receive the report and to pass it be in a bylaw 2017-82, be in a bylaw to authorize certain new capital works of the town of Amherstburg, to authorize the submission of an application to Ontario Infrastructure and Lands Corporation for financing such capital works, and authorize long-term borrowing for such works through the issuance of debenture to OILC, be taken as such
you. Second, Deputy Mayor, any questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carry. 10.1, removal of part lot control for Big Creek subdivision. Council Milosh?
Move the recommendation.
And second, Council Levine, any questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carry. 10.2, the road dedication of reserve for Annie Avenue. Council Milosh?
Move the recommendation. I just speak to it.
Okay, second, Council Pouche, and back to Council Milosh.
A recent event with respect to roads in the current state area prompted me to ask, do we have a mechanism that when we take over roads, that lets all our departments know that they now have a certain responsibility to these roads, that, you know, that the weeds don't just continue, after we take it over, the weeds grow 3 feet tall, or boulevards aren't maintained. So is there a mechanism that we have internally that basically tells all of our responsible departments that it's now a part of their law?
Through your worship, I think I can answer the question that you asked, but typically there's a report that comes back to council, usually prepared by Public Works, that basically tells council that we're going to assume the infrastructure for all of the, like for the new developments. So for example, in this particular situation, this particular development, as you know, we worked quite hard to try and get all the issues resolved with this. This development came back to council and we forced the developer to finalize a number of things. This is part of the house cleaning part, is cleaning up that reserve dedication for Annie. But there is a mechanism, and that's our report to council, where all the departments are consulted, that we're going to be taking over the infrastructure. So that does occur.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carry. 10.3, the road dedication for Gibbs Street. Councilor Lee? And second, Councilor Milosh, any questions? All those in favor? Carry. 10.4, the proposed 5 lots for County Road 20. Councilor Milosh?
Move the recommendation, I'd like to speak on it.
Okay, second, Councilor Pouget?
I'd like to speak on it.
Sure. And back to Councilor Milosh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This question is to Rebecca. Rebecca, how does these lots fit into, I mean, you know, right now, or if there's a push for protection of farmland, but there's a push for urbanization, there's, density, increase the density of the urban areas to, lessen the burden of the supply of services. So how does these lots, how did you look at this, I guess, take into account all of those external factors?
Sure, Mr. Mayor. These lots went through the consent process and were assessed based on the provincial policy statement requirements of the Planning Act and the current policies in the town's official plan. The lots are within the low-density residential settlement area, and a rezoning already occurred for the lands to go from agricultural to R1A, which is a requirement so that the future 5 lots can be developed based on standard setbacks and requirements of the R1A zone. So the proposed lots did meet all of the requirements in the official plan and the zoning bylaw. And as we reviewed the official plan every 5 years, and we're about to do that again, we'll look at the town comprehensively to ensure that all of our policies are up to date based on the changes to the provincial policy statement and provincial legislation from 2014. So they absolutely are in conformity with the town's official plan.
Thank you.
And Councilor Pouget.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Rebecca. Rebecca, this is within a settlement area, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, and I'm just quoting from the report. Council approval may be conditional on proof of a
include the potable groundwater quality, groundwater yield, groundwater interference, soil suitability, and the lot area for effluent treatment. And we definitely want Mr. Parks to succeed for this development to go through, but I just have a couple of questions about this. Have all these conditions been met? Because I see both the soil testing, that it's gray in area, and the soil appears to have imperfect natural drainage. And but where is the report regarding the potable groundwater quality, the groundwater yield, and groundwater interference? It says that we should be concerned about that, but I don't see it in the report.
What's in italics here is the official plan policy identifying when someone needs to develop five or less lots on septic systems. This is the policy that we refer to and why I wrote the report to council tonight. So for Mr. Parks to fulfill that condition, he was requested to have a certified septic designer undertake the analysis of that area and those lots and come forward with the necessary information. That official plan policy that's identifying potable groundwater, groundwater yield, groundwater interference, it's up to the expert that's been retained in septic to septic design to determine whether these additional pieces of information would be necessary. But in this case, AgriEarth did the analysis again for Mr. Parks and provided the appropriate percolation analysis so that conventional or unconventional systems can be utilized. So it's not really necessary to get into this additional information, groundwater interference, based on the expertise of the person that did the analysis.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. 10.5, the encroachment agreement for 515 Lakeside Drive. Councilor Melange?
Move the recommendation.
Second. Councilor Levine, any questions? Councilor Pouche?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a real concern about this. Apparently, this structure that was on our property, correct, our easement, has been there since 2006. It's now 2017. It's a big structure. I went out there to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a two-car garage.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not like they didn't know that they were supposed to be checking with our municipality, because IRCA, in their report of 2006, it claimed it to be a temporary structure. Now, temporary to me means just for a short period of time, not 11 years. And then they want to continue with it for a number of years. And so, does this not, it says this report, it does not negate you from your responsibility to obtain clearance or authority that may be necessary. So they didn't get permission, they didn't get a permit to erect this, and yet they want this temporary site on our property to continue. I just can't understand that. I really am having a very hard time with this. I think it might send a very, a message to other people. Hey, put up whatever you want. Council, even if it is on our property, and council will just say, okay. It's like we're not penalizing them or charging them anything extra for using our property for all these years, and they want to continue.
Through your worship, it's like you were in my office this afternoon, Councilor Bouget, because I raised all those same concerns having seen this the first time. I will tell you I would be more than happy to discuss this in an in-camera meeting with council. I just cannot discuss what I believe occurred in a public session. I just can't do that right now. If council wanted to go in an in-camera meeting and the mayor wanted to call an in-camera meeting now, I'd be more than happy to discuss what I think happened. And I will leave it at that. they're asked, the request is for an easement agreement. The question is who had the authority to grant this, and I think that will be subject to an in-camera meeting.
Okay, well, for me.
Counselor Wing?
The report states administration wants to go ahead, but the vibe I'm getting from you is that you wanna put brakes on. So I'm with Counselor Pujic, I'm just kinda concerned.
Through your worship to Counselor Pujic and Counselor Levine, the issue here really becomes is a question of who gave the individual the authority to put this on the property, which appears someone gave it to this person. We looked in the files, we can't find it. And by de facto, because of the letter that IRCA sent to the individual must have received that. I just don't think the individual had the authority. So really, when we get into this, it becomes an issue of legality, and that's something we'd rather discuss in camera.
Counselor Lee?
Yeah, I'll move to defer until this can come on the camera agenda.
Counselor Pujic, second? Okay, motion to defer. All those in favor? Carried. To the next agenda? To the next agenda. No, 11.1. Counselor Malosh?
Move the recommendation.
And second, Counselor Levine? Any questions on this item? Okay, all those in favor? Carried. 11.2, terms of reference amendments. Counselor Malosh?
Move the recommendation.
Second. Counselor Levine? Any questions? Counselor Pujic?
I feel like a pest. I just have a question regarding the appointment to Parks and Rec Committee. I noticed that Councilor Levine and my name is not included with the others that are on that committee. Is there a reason for it, or do we not have to be included?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The terms of reference indicate that it's as well as the legislation, which is the Recreation and Tourism Act, indicate that it must have two council members on it at all times. Therefore, two members will always be present regardless of who the two members will be.
Okay,
any other questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. 12, information reports. Councilor Malosh?
Move 12.1 to 12.5, you receive.
And second, Deputy Mayor, and is there any questions on any of these? Councilor Pujic.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Regarding 12.2, if I may direct you to the fire chief, railway disclosure requirements, protective direction, number 32. Maybe I'm not supposed to be directing it to you, but am I supposed to be? Okay. Thank you for the report. But did the railway company follow all the rules? I think I sent you an email today regarding this. I hope I did anyway. I didn't? I made one out. Maybe it's still in draft. sorry about that. Maybe I'm putting you on the spot then. Because it was Deputy Chief Tome that investigated it when the people on the second made a complaint about combustible fluids in the tank cars being on the second. Did they follow the proper procedure to notify the town as was required?
Yes. Thank you, Councillor, for the question. Through you, Your Worship. ETR has been following the obligations that have been placed on them by the directive since its inception.
Any other questions on any of these items? Okay, all those in favor? carried. Thirteen, consent correspondence. I suppose we should receive them first, and there is a 13.7 supplementary. Counselor Levine?
I will receive.
And second, Counselor Milosh. And all those in favor of receiving, carried. And is there any items council would like to deal with on any of those? Counselor Pluje?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. But I hate dwelling on this, but this does not make me very happy. I don't think it would make anybody from council happy about this, but, you know, council in good faith wrote to the county council and we asked to get our money back and put it in reserves for a service we didn't receive. And that was more than a year ago. And now they're telling us, thanks for the letter, but sorry about your luck. You can't put anything, like, we spent a lot of money fixing up the inside of the library and purchasing the property, doing the repairing the parking lot and making it larger for our customers. And now all of a sudden they're saying, yeah, we know that you have, you didn't get service a year ago, but now you cannot apply for anything unless it starts, I believe it is August 7th. So,
August 9th
of this year.
Mm-hmm.
We've already done all the repairs from last year. So they're tying our hands no matter what we do. And this is just, to me, this is totally unacceptable. First of all, they say you can apply for it, but oh, you can't really because you can only do it a year later. Is there anything that this council can do? I mean, I don't want to get into a, you know what, kind of match but with them, but we have to look out for our residents.
I'll answer that. I agree, obviously, and at this point, and I think I had suggested an email, we might want to direct the CAO to address this on an administrative level, as it seems to be the direction that it's going. And at this stage, government-wise, I think we've done everything we could, and we've just been outvoted. So outside of that process, I think the CAO maybe could pass a message on that this council may not be able to, or should not, perhaps.
I will. I don't care.
through your worship, I do have a meeting with my colleagues this Friday, where I will be raising this issue. I am quite frankly totally offended by this letter. I think our residents did not have service for 251 days. I'm frustrated at the fact that they believe the library board, who doesn't have the accountability to the ratepayers, but you folks do, should be managing the file instead of council. And that's where I have some grave concern. The request was a simple request from our council to get our proportionate share of monies paid to the county for a service, like you said, Councillor Pouget, they did not receive. We've taken proactive measures to make repairs at our library building and the parking lot to once again provide service. The key is we've provided service or enhanced the service for our residents. And yet here we're being told that we will support the enhancement of service after August 9th. Well, like council said, they didn't receive service from June 25th, 2016 to February 10th, 2017. And to make this for monies they collected previous to this date, to me, makes no sense. And I'm going to try and convince my colleagues that they need to readdress the report that I believe is going to September 20th to county council, because they did not meet the September 6th deadline. So I'm hoping with my meeting on the 20th, I mean this Friday, which I believe is the 15th or 16th, that I'll be able to convince my colleagues to look at it in a different light. That's all I can say.
Councilor Lee?
Thank you. Some of those repairs that Councilor Pouget is referring to, they were related to safety concerns. Am I not correct? Like the steps being unsafe, the access safe. And we took it upon ourselves as a town to rectify it because they weren't, is there a legal avenue? Can we sue them?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, we're a landlord in this situation, right, with regards to the building, and it's our responsibility to make sure we have safe access for our residents. Some of the recent repairs that we're making actually underway right now are landlord's responsibility. The crux of it all is there's only one taxpayer in this county, in this municipality. So if that money goes to the county or if it stays with the town of Amherstburg, it's still coming out of the same pocket. All we're asking is get the money back into our taxpayers' pocket so that they don't have to pay for it again at a municipal level, right? That's the reality of it all, and I can appreciate what council's tried to do, and I'm going to echo those comments when I meet with my colleagues on Friday. There's only one taxpayer in the town of Amherstburg, and they pay for our share and they pay for the county share. The county manages it on behalf of ours for the delivery of service, which we did not receive. And that's, you know, that's the approach I'm going to take.
Councilor Pluja?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Michelli. Would it help you if a council passes a motion directing you to do that, or would that, does that kind of clear you a bit?
I think the media is going to capture it enough this evening that they're going to know what I'm going to talk about on Friday.
And short of what comes out of that, should council send us back to county council with that position or different position, I will grace the game as many times as Amherstburg wishes me to do so. Hopefully, Mr. Michelli will be able to pass a message on.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't have to go down that route, but we will await, I guess, like you said, the deadline issue.
Yeah.
And see what happens with that.
Should council wish, I am prepared to, if the report comes out, speak to it as a delegation of county council, if council so wishes me to do so.
Okay, any other items in there? Okay, seeing none, and that brings us to 14.1, the English as a Second Language Week. Councilor Locke?
Move the recommendation.
And second, Councilor Levine, any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. And brings us to consent other minutes, 15.1. To receive. Councilor Levine, second. Councilor Pluja, any questions on that? Councilor Melange?
My question was.
Microphone?
My question was, in light of the fact that we disbanded it, was there a necessity to approve the minutes? But I guess maybe because they happened and it was still. Is that what your answer is going to be?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The minutes were not adopted by the committee, of course. However, they do have to come through council for the final receiving of the minutes.
Okay, just for information.
Any other questions? Okay, all those in favor? Carried. Unfinished business. Any unfinished business items? Councilor Pluja?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to our CAO. Any more about the update regarding Senator Whalen's plaque? I know at one time council had passed and taken a plaque on their property with the family's permission. Since then they sold that home, and I understand there was a delay of some kind. But.
Through your worship, Councilor Pushy, I did have a conversation with Susan and left it in her court. She was supposed to get back to me and she hadn't. She hasn't as of yet. So I'd be more than happy to follow up with Susan again, but she did not get back to me.
Any other items? Okay, any new business? Councilor Melange?
We discussed this, but I put it down here. The backflow belt, Mr. Michelli, you're bringing that back in the report. That's all I want to make sure that it does get this for discussion. Thank you.
Your Worship, we will have a comprehensive report. We have a strategy that Director Joffe and myself have talked about. We're pretty confident that it's going to be a good program that is within our budget to address.
Thank you.
Councilor Cluj?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And further to Councilor Malosh's question, could Mr. Welsh be contacted about when this report's going to come before council, just in case it's delayed?
Sure. We can put him on the list to be contacted. I will tell you, it's the next council meeting, September 25th, I believe, is the next meeting, Mr. Welsh. If council approves the program, we'll be contacting all the residents in that area ourselves. We'll be going to tell them about the program and when we're going to be dealing with it.
Can I have a question?
Sure.
My last question.
Yeah.
The funding for that, so let's say whatever the funding is given to our residents of Amherstburg, McGregor, is that coming out of our tax dollars, or would it be from the federal provincial government?
That's through monies that was approved by council. Council approved $400,000 for repairs in that area. So as I sort of explained earlier, we went through our own infrastructure, and we haven't identified any repairs based on the way the infrastructure was designed. Now we're looking at, with that money, going on the private side, trying to help the private side to improve their infrastructure.
Well, because like when Winter said, or the mayor of Winter said that they're getting funding, was that not from the provincial government?
That was funding to help them with the repairs of people's homes that can no longer get insurance.
Well, that's like myself. That's what
exactly, and you're eligible for that.
So, but are we a taxpayer going to have to pay that for mine, or are we going to get it for mine?
Where
am I going to get the funding?
There's a process online, the mayor can.
Yeah. We post it as many places as we can. I believe it's an immediate pop-up on our website right now. So if you go to Amherstburg.ca, it immediately pops up the link for you. A couple days after the event, I communicated with the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing. They sent down a team, which is standard protocol for them, to just come and confirm the areas that were affected. We did get them up to Amherstburg, and that area,
there it is.
There we go. All the information is there. It'll show a map of the part of Amherstburg, which I believe your property is on, and
yes.
For that funding, the individual property owners have to apply to the province. So we're not allowed to apply for you, but we did get them here, and we got that much done. And now from there, you can apply through the process. Each individual homeowner can apply through the process.
So my question is, it's possible to get some subsidies from the municipality, which is our town, for the check level we were talking about, and then there's others for the perfect. Now, I don't know if you guys have the signal, but like insurance purposes or gross income in the household or anything like that, because, you know what I mean?
No, can you? What's the question?
Will you be denied if you make too much money?
Oh, well, there are...
Gross income per household, like grants for children and so on and so forth. Many people are denied because of their income.
I only did a quick read of it, unfortunately, before I got sidetracked, because I was looking for stuff like that. All I can tell you is there is definitely a list of qualifications in order to receive it. And, you know, I can't say one way or the other. The other thing is they also expect, they don't consider it insurance replacement. They expect each property owner, if available, to mitigate the cost through insurance. And basically the plan is there to subsidize what you couldn't get from other means. In that respect, we probably agree on what we disagree about their qualifications.
I'm not speaking for myself.
No, no.
I mean, there's some other people in Margaret that
oh, absolutely.
Are life, and
yeah.
I think they should be able to receive it just like myself and so on.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So there's two processes to receive the funding. On the website for there?
No, no. We're going to deal with the infrastructure.
Yes, I understand that. You're talking for insurance purposes, because like my neighbor behind me,
yeah.
Actually multiple of us cannot file again. Like, you know I cannot, because obviously my fire claim, that they'll get rid of me.
That is what it was intended for.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you, they're probably not going to make it that easy for you.
Of course not.
They're going to ask you for, you know, a whole bunch of information. But if you are in that situation, from the parts that I read, that is exactly what that is intended for.
So that's for insurance purposes, the town will be providing assistance towards the check valve downspouts and programs to stop avoid it, stop the problem. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Councilor Pluche?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Is there any way that the town of Amherstburg could notify the people that have flooded that this is available to them? Because, you know, I didn't understand that. I thought it was just the people in Windsor and LaSalle that were eligible for it.
Can we?
We could mail them.
We could do a mail out. Is it gonna be in the Rivertown Times?
I'm not sure if it was in the Rivertown Times. It was on our Twitter, our Facebook, our website, but other than that, I'm not sure what else.
I think, Your Worship and members of council, the media can, we did our job on the media from respect for public relations and notification, but because the area identified is not that large, we could probably look at doing a mail to all the residents that were affected and getting that out there as soon as we can. We do want everyone to take advantage of the program. I think some of the things that were also being talked about by the politicians were in situations like Mr. Welch, right? Where Mr. Welch says, I can't put another claim in because I'll lose my insurance. Well, I know the other mayors and the other politicians have asked for a mechanism to make sure that that cannot happen, that they cannot deny someone insurance. So hopefully that's going to be have to be dealt by the provincial government at their level, because at a municipal level we won't be able to enforce anything like that. But I definitely believe the province can do that to the insurance providers. So we'll have to wait and see how that turns out. But there is some relief there, and I don't think it's going to be governed by income levels. I think it's going to be governed on what's not covered by your insurance company, and that's what they're going to pick up the tab on. So it's going to be a blended approach, is the way I sort of see it, but I could be wrong. I'm just telling you that's what I believe.
Can I request that the information on both of those topics be sent to my house by mail? Because no disrespect to the media, but again, we're in the farthest outskirts of town. We get Rivertown Times and Amherstburg Echo usually a week later. At the road, it's usually wet, so. And that would be nice. It would be give us a week ahead on that. Delivery's not the best out where I live, so I could probably get a week ahead of the paper.
What I can tell you, Mr. Welch, is wait. After council makes the decision next week, I will endeavor to write a letter. We as a town will write a letter to all the residents.
Great, thank you.
And we'll get a mailing list to let everybody know what their options are. I do strongly believe that we're going to be making a lot of visits to that area with regards to the downspout disconnection program that we're proposing and the backwater valve program that we're going to be proposing. So we really want to try and get out to see everybody. So,
come on, I'll give you a tour.
I've taken tours.
Mine's a high peak route again.
No, I'm more than willing to come out and take a tour. I love meeting with the residents.
I know the country is beautiful out there.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure you and I would get along just fine.
Thank you.
He was parked just across the road from me not that long ago. He and I have
Yeah. Thanks.
Councilor Melange?
Yeah, I think it's important to send out a letter. We're talking probably 250 homes because it's the west side of Walker Road that we're really only dealing with. Because I don't think you have to send anything to on the municipality of Essex side. That's in yellow. I would think not.
Well, that was one of the areas that was affected. When Antoinette and myself were speaking with the ministry, they asked us to include it in our infrastructure that was identified as being flooded, because they were unsure if Essex was going to deal with it. But we'll have to have two separate letters, one for our own residents, I'm telling them what we can do for them. And I think Essex is going to have to do their own thing, although we want to address the infrastructure. I don't know, Antoinette, is there anything different or anything you want to add to that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The residents on the Essex side are on our wastewater and water systems. So we, I believe, are going to recommend that the residents on our systems would be able to take advantage of this as well. Obviously, if the results we're trying to get is to alleviate pressure on our system, the dividing line shouldn't really be an issue. We're trying to remove all the water we can out of our particular system.
So to follow up to that, so even the
Mr. Mayor, those Essex residents on our system do pay our wastewater rates. So the program, the $400,000 that we're referring to, was in our wastewater budget, and that wastewater budget, or the wastewater rates are charged to those Essex residents, as well as some residents in LaSalle. So yes, I believe it would be fair to allow them to take advantage of it as well.
So basically, Amherstburg is receiving revenue from all of those residents for wastewater, wastewater?
That is correct.
Okay. User pay system.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other new business? Counsel Pluto?
Did you just say it was $400,000? That is put out for this? And you said, how many houses were affected by this?
Well, no, on the McGregor side, sorry.
Yeah, if you do the math, if you got $400,000 set aside, at roughly $2,000 per check valve, at $750,000, you're already short. And that's just the check valve, then there's other programs, $400,000 is nothing.
We have $400,000.
I just got that.
No, we have $400,000 built into our budget. Like you said, the entire subdivision behind you has check valves, backwater valves, they wouldn't be getting.
Oh, okay, sorry.
So you gotta look at the whole thing, and if we run short, we have a capital budget that's being developed for 2018, we'll make a provision for it. Rest assured, we're going to deal with the.
Okay, the numbers didn't work.
No, my math works a little differently, but it's just because I have more information, that's all.
I'm strictly talking the number of houses, not, I mean, there are a number that don't even have basements, like myself and two might.
Yeah, that was smart to do, don't put a basement in. Okay, thank you.
Counsel Pluto?
Antoinette, I want to speak.
Oh.
Sorry.
Did you want to speak on that?
She had her hand raised.
Sorry, I missed that.
It's okay, I think the CAO covered it.
Oh, Mr. Walsh's comments?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Mr. Chelly covered it.
Okay. Counsel Pluto?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, I have been speaking to a number of people regarding their concerns about public transportation, and especially now since LaSalle has it, they wonder why we don't have it. I know years ago we brought it up, but it wasn't feasible on that side. So with the council's indulgence, I'd like to pass a motion to direct administration to investigate the feasibility of a public transportation system that would benefit our residents, especially our seniors and our post-secondary students, to travel to and from Windsor.
Is there a second? Deputy Mayor? Any questions on that? Great. All those in favor? Carried. Any other new business? Okay, there's no report out in camera. And bylaws, 20.1, confirmatory bylaw. Councilor Malosh?
Move the recommendation.
Second, Councilor Levine. All those in favor? Carried. And it brings us to 21. I need somebody to read that whole thing. Councilor Levine.
Move council vote in camera directly following this session pursuant to Section 239 of Municipal Act 4, Item A, update on noise assessment, Section 239 2E, litigation or potential litigation, Section 239 2F, advice of the subject of solicitor client privilege, including communications necessary for that purpose. Item B, possible acquisition of property, Section 239 2C, a proposed or pending acquisition or disposition of land by the municipality or local board. And item C, absence of clerk, medical leave, Section 239 2B, personal matters don't identify one individual, including municipal or local board employees.
Second, Councilor Malosh. All those in favor? Carried. And we will go in camera.
Purpose.
absence of the clerk medical leave or under section 239(2)(b) of the Act. And as a result of this discussion, the following is before council for consideration. Bylaw 2017-86, being a bylaw to appoint a part-time deputy clerk, be taken as having been read three times and finally passed, and the mayor clerk be authorized to sign same.
Counselor, moved by Counselor Levine, second by Counselor Milosh. All those in favor? Carried. And motion to adjourn.